This is the John Oakley Show podcast.
Great day for talk radio, I must say. It really is. I mean, there's so many things that we've addressed so far. I wanted to get back into some of these talking points. We will with our panel shortly. Topics worthy of discussion. The Reverend Dr. Sherry DeNovo, John Capobianco, and Michael Giles will weigh in, as they do most Fridays. Interesting, that story about... We talked about it the other day, where this car was driving along, I guess, in Hamilton, near Nikola Tesla Boulevard, and I guess both rear doors were open, and there was something protruding from both sides of this car. And now the cops actually have charged a 42-year-old man and woman, I guess, with break and enter, because they had stolen, or they were transporting 450 kilograms of steel. I think it might have been their car, the 1991 Chevy Lumina. Anyway, a cop recognized it, and that's that story. Man, people on the roads, there is that serious consideration, you know, that sometimes you can get into some real difficulty and tragedy ensues, like the 16-year-old who was killed earlier this morning. I don't know if it's joyriding per se, but taking the Mercedes-Benz from the family's driveway at 1:30 in the morning in Northwest Scarborough, and his companions, a 14-year-old, seriously injured in critical condition, 16-year-old in the back, has fared somewhat better, but cops had to pry them out of the car. It hit a pole, a light pole, at 1:30 in the morning. We're going to find out if the parents, you know, I mean, not to really lay into the grieving parents, but still, you know, you wonder about parental responsibility, or can you even keep your kids under control 24/7? We'll get to it as one of our topics worthy of discussion. Before we get to that, another one certainly worthy of discussion as we head out Hamilton Way to address it is the case of the job numbers. 108,000 jobs created in the month of April, 73,000 of which are full-time, and right across all sectors and regions. Donna Skelly is the MPP for Flamborough-Glanbrook, and she's joined us on the line to give us a sense for what is or who is responsible for this good news. Donna, it's good to have you on the Oakley Show. Good afternoon.
Hi, John. I absolutely love your show. Absolutely love it.
Well, I appreciate your saying that. Thank you for it.
Listen to it every day I'm driving home.
Well, all right. Out Hamilton Way, right? Yours isn't a burgundy car with the doors open in the back.
Not yet.
All right.
But it's great news today for us. Another 47,000 jobs created in April, and that's significant. We weren't expecting these numbers to be this high. But it's really a reflection of what I believe is what the premier has been had set out to do, said what we would do when we ran in the last election. And I think it's starting to reap the results of all of this this hard work.
All right. So 47,000 of this 108,000 number is in Ontario specifically. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Almost half of the jobs created in Canada last year were in Ontario. And since we were elected, so since last June, we were sworn in at the end of June, so since July, 170,000 more jobs. Significant. Most of those were since January.
All right. Well, I wanted to know the timeline because, again, there's this number about 700,000 jobs have been added in 2 years. Now, that's predating the premier and your government. But Justin Trudeau, we heard a clip during the news in Edmonton, was saying that this is a consequence of the Liberals and their stimulus program, building infrastructure. They put $180 billion earmarked for infrastructure. So how do we square that? I mean, who or what is responsible for the gross number? You're saying it's the Ford government responsible for the spike here in the province in the last month?
I can tell you what I'm hearing from businesses. And they, in fact, I just returned from a round table with members of the steel industry, and we were meeting with them to talk about the challenges they face with rising hydro rates. In Hamilton, Dofasco is the largest consumer, actually, right across Ontario, the largest consumer of energy in Ontario. And industry is facing a significant challenge. Industries in Ontario, it's so much more competitive if you want to operate in the United States in terms of energy prices. So this was just one measure, meeting with industry, meeting with businesses, finding out what it will take to create a business-friendly environment. Today's roundtable was one of many measures, one of many steps we've taken, one of many consultations we've had with business. And right from the get-go, we repealed Bill 148, and this was a significant challenge for businesses. They saw a 21% increase in wages overnight. By repealing that bill, we froze the minimum wage, gave them a break, let them take a breath, and recover from that huge increase, as I said, that they saw overnight. We changed the ratio of journeymen and apprentices. And again, that was significant to the small business owner. In my riding, we have a community called Waterdown, meeting with members of our Flamborough Chamber of Commerce, and two told me. One was he owns an HVAC company, and the other one is an electrician. And the two of them were able to hire 12 additional apprentices the day we were able to enact that change in legislation. So I do believe that the numbers that you're seeing today really is a result of the efforts that this government is putting forward.
Again, with Donna Skelly, who's the MPP for Flamborough-Glanbrook and the Parliamentary Assistant to the Minister of Economic Development, Job Creation and Trade, on these robust numbers for the economy. Jobs, 108,000 across the country, 47,000 of which are found directly here in Ontario. You know, it's interesting because, Donna, you said that the fact that you repealed 148 there, and this was where, you know, minimum wage became one of the strike points in that argument. Wages have increased, actually, according to these the Stats Can report. And do you think, I mean, when you've got this job creation, there's a tight labor market, there's no need to increase the minimum wage. It will sort of find its own level and actually increase that because people want to fill these jobs.
Absolutely. Let the market determine, really. Let the market determine what the wage is. And when you say that it's there are so many jobs, and the Premier has said this, and I know that the opposition chuckles at it, but it is true. And I raised this today again, even though members of the steel industry were there to discuss hydro. We talked a bit about the difficulty in finding bodies to fill these jobs. And if we are going to face a crisis, this is probably it. We cannot find enough people, skilled and unskilled, to fill jobs in Ontario. It's a big, big problem. When we hear that people say they can't find a job, call me. I will find you a job. We have held roundtables right across Ontario, and it doesn't matter what sector and what region. We cannot find enough people to fill these jobs.
It's interesting because apparently the spike or the increase in the new workers is primarily in the youth and immigrant demographics. This is what the stats say. There's been a surge in youth participation.
Well, that would probably in this particular month may be more reflective of the fact that you're seeing seasonal jobs, tourism jobs, jobs in the summer months. But I also understand that most of the permanent jobs were in the mining sector, which is great news for Northern Ontario. I'm actually born and raised in a little town called Caperill, a mining / railroad town north of Sudbury. And you know, they took a hit. They took a hit for years. And this is good news for Northern Ontario, and a region that we are focusing on. Of course, we want to finally see the Ring of Fire built. I do believe it will happen. I do hope it happens because it will be wonderful, not just for the North, but there will be repercussions right across Ontario with the jobs that will be created there, and of course the economic benefits right across the province.
Yeah, what's on plan for that? Because that's sitting there right now, ready to, you know, be, I don't want to say exploited, but there are issues.
It is exploited. There is a huge opportunity in Northern Ontario, and Minister Rickford has committed. He is working with members in the mining industry. He meets with them regularly, and I know that they're working towards a plan. It takes time. We've got to get the infrastructure in place, really. We've got to build some roads. There hadn't been roads built in Ontario for years, but that's changing. As you see, you know the announcements that the Premier is certainly a big fan of infrastructure and getting things moving in Ontario, but we've got to get the infrastructure built before we can actually exploit or expand the Ring of Fire.
All right. Well, it's a good news day all around. And
it's
certainly
a great news day.
You're right. It's also a great news talk radio day.
Absolutely. And I enjoy talking with you.
Well, I enjoy talking to you as well. Hope we do it down the road. Congrats right across the board. We'll let you go and talk down, as I say, down the road, Donna.
Anytime. Take care.
You got it. Donna Skelly, again, is the MPP for Flamborough-Glanbrook, and as well as a parliamentary assistant when it comes to trade and the like. Now,
thanks for listening to the John Oakley Show podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your on-demand audio.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.